V-minus 9. ELF Western Office, Havana, Cuba. Jack Neal encouraged John Cole to stay by his side as he set off to meet the two familiar-looking aliens halfway between his starting position and their ramp some 30 meters away. Cole stood on the spot until Jack tugged at his arm and made the case. Come on, John, think of the visual. You and me, the ultimate thumbs in Godfrey and Slater's eyes. Once again, the widely loathed PR man made no effort to conceal his words from the few cameras pointing his way, while most of the others remained fixed on the aliens. Belatedly, Cole walked with him. Security personnel watched the two men approach their alien counterparts and stop mere feet from their faces. The events of Contact Day had been replayed so many times that this almost felt like a rerun in a different place and with two humans set to converse with the aliens instead of one. John Cole's heart was in his mouth as he stared into the wide, intelligent eyes of an extraterrestrial being. It was a messenger, or at least of the same race. Its identical physical makeup told him. It extended a hand for him to shake, just as one of the messengers had done in front of Dan McCarthy a year earlier. The alien in front of Jack outstretched its hand, too, and both men reached out in unison to formally greet their visitors from afar. We need to talk. Jack spoke to his alien. It looked at him blankly. Talk, he repeated, pointing to his neck to suggest a cable of the kind the messengers had used to communicate with Dan. Although their expressions didn't change, it immediately became clear that the aliens understood. One stepped behind the other and produced a cable from an unseen pouch at the back of its tunic. And me, Cole said, pointing to his own neck. Jack waved his finger in a no-no-no motion he hoped would be galactically universal. He then put a hand on Cole's chest to stop him from getting what he considered too close to the aliens. What the hell are you doing? Cole asked, mindful not to appear overly aggressive given the tension of the armed officers and the red lights of the live TV cameras, but furious with Jack's desire to hog this remarkable opportunity for interspecies communication. Trust me on this, boss, Jack pleaded. For the first time, he then covered his mouth to hide his words from prying eyes and lenses. There's a long game and you'll see the forest for the trees soon enough. I'm going to ask them to let ELF scientists study one of them and to let some of your people onto their craft. I already know they're on our side and not McCarthy's, but that's the kind of thing the world needs to see to know it for sure. Jack's use of the word boss, as transparent an attempt at ingratiation as it would have been had Cole's head been in the right place, did the trick. It did confuse Cole more than a little that Jack referred to the other side as McCarthy's rather than Godfrey's or the GCC's more generally, but that seemed like a small point in the context of the many huge points of unanswered confusion all around him. But despite his own position as the ELF's Western secretary and Jack's utter lack of any official role, Cole could see that for some reason, the aliens clearly were keen to talk to Jack. His gesture had brought them to the ground, after all, and his sudden appearance remained an unexplained mystery. Stepping aside only slightly, Cole watched on in conflicted anticipation as one alien connected the other to Jack Neal via a cable, and a process familiar to everyone from the famous Birchwood footage. John Cole's questions were many, and he could only hope the answers were coming soon.